I wonder, please raise your hand if you, and to answer my questions. Have you accepted Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you do, please raise your hand. I'm not holding a phone. I mean, really raise your hand. Okay, good, thank you. Now, some people may think to accept Jesus is not a simple decision. Why would I make a decision like that? Today I'm going to talk about Apostle Peter, the calling of Peter. Why would someone decide to follow Jesus? Is it a simple, okay, yeah, I'll go with it? No, actually, it's everyone has his own story. So maybe you can relate to this story today. That's why I'm telling you today. How did Peter first come to know a lot about Lord Jesus? And in the John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 32 to 36, and this is John the Baptist, the prophet in the wilderness, and he bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon Lord Jesus. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist telling other people, I saw the Spirit came down like a dove when Jesus baptized. Because of this, I saw the Holy Spirit on top of him. Then I can say this man is the Son of God. So John the Baptist telling everyone around, Jesus is the Son of God. More than that, again, the next day, Jesus stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, notice there's another name. In the beginning, John the Baptist said, I know, he is the Son of God. And why did he came? He came because he became the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. You know, in the Israelites, they have a practice. They have to kill a lamb, to use their blood, to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. That is to remind them how God delivered them from Egypt, how God saved them. So when there's a lamb, that they will bring many people to remember, oh, this is the Lamb of God. His blood is the sacrifice that can set us free. So not only John tell other people, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He came to die for us. Now, what happened to Peter? You never mentioned Peter here yet. But one of the two who heard John speak and he followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew listened to John the Baptist. John says he's the Son of God. John says he's the Lamb of God. Then he went back home and tell his brother. So someone may tell you, someone in your family may tell you, Jesus is the God. Jesus is God himself. He came, he's the Savior. And he first found his brother Simon, this is Peter, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And what does the Christ mean? So this is, no matter it's Messiah or the Christ, it simply means anointed. In the past, when God chose somebody, he asked others to put oil on his forehead. The anointed means chosen. In other words, he is the chosen one. He is the coming king. He is the coming the Savior to deliver us. Now, just from John the Baptist, I think Andrew will tell his brother, Peter, come, have a look. Come and see the Messiah. Come, Come, we have found the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. Just like your family, your friends told you, come to the meeting, know Jesus. So Peter started to know about Jesus, and he even came to talk to Jesus, and he brought him, Peter, to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at Peter, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which means a stone. So he even talked to Jesus, but nothing great changed yet. Nothing happened yet. Just like you may have heard of Jesus from your family, from your brother, from your friends, from your parents. You know the title of him. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. So what? I know something about him, but I don't really have relationship with him. So many of you may have heard about Jesus, but do you have a close relationship with him? This is just the beginning. And later on, we know Jesus starts to perform some miracle near that area. He turns the water into wine. Peter must have heard about it. He even healed the son of a centurion from afar when he said to the father, "Your son will be healed." And far away, his son got healed. So Jesus performed these miracles. So Peter knows more about Jesus. I know I'm not just his title. Someone called him Messiah. Someone called him the Son of God. Someone called him the Lamb of God. And indeed, he can perform miracles. But yet, maybe he feels indifferent. So what does it relate to me? How does it relate to me? Now, before I go on, can anyone tell me what his job? Peter, what did he do to earn his living? Fisherman, yes. And in Matthew, it tells us about that area first. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee. This land filled many Gentiles, not just Israelites. How does the people describe the people who live in Galilee? Now, Peter was the fisherman there. What does the Bible tell us about the people who live in Galilee? The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light upon them who sat in the region and shadow of death. Light has dawned. So the Bible describes Peter's area as they are living in darkness. They are living in the shadow of death. Now, if you look at the map of Israel, it may be something like this. Okay? The Dead Sea is here, but the Lake of Galilee is on top, much smaller. And because it's on the north, so why does people describe it as the people who sat in darkness? Now, these people in the far north, you know, when invaders like Babylonian, Assyrian, enemies always come from the north to attack Israel. Or when they try to go through Israel to attack Egypt or go to the Europe. Or people from Egypt try to attack people from Assyria. So this is the passage people will go through. And people from the north, because they are far from Jerusalem. So even the air armies are there, but they can't really protect you. So people living in the north, they are far from protection. They don't have security. And always people, invaders come from the north, they are the first victim. People will invade their land. But imagine, I ask you, think about this. Is it better to be a farmer, fisherman, or a shepherd in this area? Think about it. If invaders come, what will happen to your sheep? What will happen to your crops? What will happen to your fishing boat? Which is a better job, you would think?
Fishermen.
Why? Give me a reason.
Yeah, because the army always like working on the land.
Ah, smart. I feel the same way. Because if I grow the crops, enemies come, take all my crops and burn my land. If I am a shepherd, armies came and took all my sheep, I got nothing left. But if I got a boat, enemies come, what should I do? I paddle my boat in the middle of Galilee, and they can't reach me. Ah, you can't get me, isn't it? And all the fish is in the sea. So after the enemy's gone, I can still earn my living, isn't it? As long as I get my boat, and then the fish is under there, I can still live. So, in other words, if I am Peter, out of all this career, being a fisherman is the best. I can protect myself. So, in order to feel security and safe, I need a boat. And if I can have a boat and a net, I can have security. I can have my future. All everything is secured. Imagine, in this people on the north, everything is no guarantee. Enemies may come tomorrow. So, but if you get a boat, it seems you are in a raging sea. You find a log, floating wood. You hold on to it and you are safe. So imagine in this insecure world, but you can find something secure, which is your boat and your net. Now, if I ask you, leave your boat, leave your net. No way, it's my living. Are you going to kill me? That brings me security. And yet, what happened? And when Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Wow! You see? You see, this is how challenging it is. In this ever-changing world, the only security is my boat. My only security is my net. I can have a good future. I can have my living if I keep this. Now, this Jesus, whom I heard a lot from my family, my brother, John the Baptist, he's the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. Now he came and asked me to follow him. Wow, such a great honor. Imagine you have an accident in the sea and you are floating and you are almost drowning. Suddenly you find something to hold on so that you can float. That is saving you. You won't let it go, isn't it? So the fishing boat and the fishing net is something that he hold on for his life. But now come along, Jesus. Follow me. And they drop it to follow him. Is it possible if today Jesus asked you to follow him? What would you do? Would you drop everything? Something you hold on. Something that speaks for your future. Something that speaks for your dream, your hopes, is all a point based on this fishing boat. Now, if I got this boat, I have a good future. If I got more fish, I can have a good living. I can, I have a wife, I can feed my whole family. My mother-in-law was sick, isn't it? So, it's not easy to drop it. And yet, he did drop it and follow Jesus. But the funny thing is, If he really dropped everything and followed him, is that the end of the story? Is it that simple? No. When we look at another passage, it seems Jesus calling him again. Let's read from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. When we read Matthew, they dropped everything to follow him. But in here, again, Jesus seemed to calling him again. So it was the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, part of the Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Hey, how come Simon go back to fishing? Just now in Matthew, we saw him left and follow Jesus. How come he come back to fishing again? And now Jesus come to visit him and ask him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So the thing is, what we got from here is Jesus preaching to the multitudes. He stood by the lake, and because so many people around him, he saw two boats, he got on one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And then he can sit, so people surrounded him. He sat on the boat and preached to the multitudes. But funny, just now, we read that Peter dropped the boat, left everything and followed Jesus. How come he came back here? What happened in between? Why did Peter go back to fishing? Maybe, the first day, Lord, you've called me to follow you. Yeah, I follow you. But later on, no security, Lord. I follow you, so what? Doing what? What are you going to give me? The Lord did not say, if you follow me, I'll give you so many dollars a year. No, the Lord did not promise that. Lord, I followed you, but what do you want from me? Following you is too hard, Lord. And look at others. They are brilliant. They are smart. They have a good education, but who am I? I feel I'm no use. I am just a fisherman, not much education. I feel discouraged. So in the beginning, I want to follow you, but after a while, hold on. I lost all the passion. This is entirely out of my comfort zone. I know how to fish. But following you, going here and there, just helping around, this new life, I don't get used to it. I have no sense of success. I remember the good old days when I cast my net, all the fishes come into the net. I feel I am successful. But now following you around, seeing you, listening to you, is that it? Is that all? I have no sense of achievement. Just be your disciple. Yes, God, you are mighty. You are Messiah. You can do anything, everything. But who am I? I am nobody. You can do it without me. I don't know how you feel about yourself being following Jesus. Maybe half-hearted, and you think, God doesn't need me. Look at the others. They are more passionate to serve the Lord. I'm just lukewarm. You don't need me. I am no use. I don't intend to pay such high price to follow you. Well, forget about me. I don't make much difference. God can do this without me. I am no use. I hold back. I stand back. Yes, I know. I know about you. You are Son of God. You are the Lamb of God. You're the Messiah. But who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I can't do anything special. And following you, I have no sense of achievement. Why should I stay here? Maybe I should go back to my good old days. Maybe I should go back to fishing. That's what I feel comfortable. So this half-hearted disciple, maybe, forsake his Lord, maybe going back to fishing. Now it's too hard. This life is too hard. Following you. Where does the money come from? I got no more fish. Let's be realistic. I need to live. Where can I go? Now, not for me. Maybe I can come to the meeting when you're teaching, but not to be committed to you, Lord. I don't want to be a committed Christian. But he may went fishing all night, but the Lord came to find him. So he did not came to the meeting. The Lord hold the congregation to him. The meeting came to him. And he can't run away. Why? Because Lord Jesus, can I use your boat? He can't run away. My boat. I can't leave my boat anymore. So he stayed on the boat. Okay. And Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land. He has to stay in the boat, isn't it? So he can't escape. He has to follow the Lord. So this is interesting. It seems that he has forsaken the Lord. It seems that he has given up to be following the Lord. He has tried to run away and go back to his own business. And yet the Lord, gathering the multitude, gathering the meeting, come to him. So if you're not coming to the meeting comes to you. The Lord will come to you, isn't it? And then what happened next? When he has stopped speaking, the Lord maybe has speaking for quite some time, teaching. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Okay, since you want fish, since you got nothing. Now notice verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That means the night before, he was hoping to catch a lot of fish again, but toiled all night and caught nothing. So he must feel tired. He must feel discouraged. Maybe so tired he wants to sleep. And yet when he wants to go home and let, then Jesus came to his sheep and said, can we go? Okay. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. Notice, at your word, I will let down the net. I think he was quite sure there should be no more fish and we have tried whole night. But at your word. So, my friends, when you hear God speaking to you and you respond to his words, you will be surprised what he can do in your life. But at your word, even though I'm tired, even though I've tried to forsaken you, even though I feel sorry, I feel embarrassed to see you again, and yet you came to my boat, I can't run away. I will let down the net. Master. He called him Master. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Wow, whole night, there seems to be all the fish has been hiding somewhere. And sometimes, this time when he cast the net, all the fish automatically come and gather and go into the net. This is a miracle. Unbelievable. I tried all night, my whole life trying to fish. And yet, when I left my God, I felt empty. All my toil was worthless. So, you won't be the same. You can't find satisfaction anymore if you really meet Lord Jesus. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Wow, the boat was about to sink. So many fish. He has never seen so much fish before. And what happened next? By the way, before I move on, if you were Peter, toil all night, got nothing, feel so embarrassed because he has forsaken the Lord, trying to go home and he's so unsuccessful in every way, following the Lord too hard, fishing again, got nothing. Oh, such discouragement. What would be your feeling? Okay, Lord, since you came, since you talked to me, since you asked me, Master, I feel worthless. I try to forsake you. I try to go away, but you have never forsaken me. You came back to me and find me. Okay, I listen to you, and suddenly I got all this fish. Now, when you saw this fish, what would you say, Timothy? This fish. Have you ever been to fishing? And when you caught a fish, what would you say?
Wow.
Wow, great. I need some other fishermen. Any other one fishing before? Let's ask Tim. He got lots of fish before. Okay. So exciting! I'm going to steam this one. I'm going to fry this one tonight. I'm going to use shallots. And how do I cook this fish? Oh, wow, this much fish. I use a calculator. Maybe I can earn $10,000. And after this $10,000, what can I buy? Maybe another ship. Maybe I can hire some crew. I can make a fishing company. Or two fish going to the bigger nets. More fish. So when you see all this fish, what would go into your heart? What? Even more fish? Yeah, sure. Any other response? I may be too greedy, but somehow there may be a spiritual person thinks something else. Caleb, what would you say? So many fish.
Must be very happy, very glad.
Oh, thank God! I got all fishing! Yeah, look at this! Take a photo! Hi! Take a selfie! All this fish behind you, isn't it? We'll be so happy because of the fish. I worked so hard, nothing. But when Jesus came into my boat, suddenly it's all filled with fish. Isn't it a joyful thing to feel? And what did he say afterwards when he saw all this? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down. Wow, so many fish. Wow, money. Wow, my future. No, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Before then, he called him Master. It changed to Lord now. What does it mean? How come the title change? But first of all, let's think about this. Depart from me? No way! Stay with me. I'll make you my captain. Every time we go fishing, you give us order. Don't go away. But yet he said, depart from me. Why?
The reason is, for I am a sinful man.
What sin? Why would he say he's a sinful man? What did he do wrong? He has done nothing wrong. You want my boat? You can have it. You want me to fish? Put down the net? I did it. I have done every good thing. Why would he say he's a sinful man? Think. What sin did he have? Can you think of anything? Nick, can you think of anything? His greed? Maybe. Anything else? Regarding the story before that, I mentioned to you, Lord, when you called me to follow you, I followed you. But then I have forsaken you. So what sin is there? Let me put it this way. If you live your own life, forget about your God, deny Him, do not pay Him respect or honor, I just live my own life. I want security. I want my boat. I want my fish. I don't care about you. I may call you master, but stop interfering my life. I want to go my own way. I don't want to follow you. I want to have this life. This is sin. So, dear friends, you don't have to be a murderer or adulterer to be a sinful man. You just want to kick God out of your life? This is sin. You abandon Him. This is sin. I want to have my own life. I don't care about God. Leave me alone. This is sin. And yet, notice here, depart from me. Would God listen to this? Go away, I don't want you. And yet, the reason why he said depart from me is because Jesus had not forsaken him. As if he did not follow Jesus, Jesus followed him. When you go to primary school, you met some Christians. When you go to high school, you met some Christians. When you come out to work, you met some Christians, always inviting you, come to the meeting, come to hear the gospel. Lord Jesus is great. You want to forget about Jesus, but you find Jesus appeared, come to call you. Depart from me, depart from me. That speaks of one thing, he's following you all the way. The reason why you can say, if he has left you, you don't have to say, depart from me, isn't it? That means someone is following you closely. Quick, go away, go away. That means he's following you. No matter you go, I love you, I want you to be with me. The reason why you can say, depart from me, is because he is always getting close to you, draw near to you. He has not forsaken you. You may have forgotten about him, you may have forsaken him, but he has not forgotten you. He wants you. He wants close to you. He loves you. Even though you think you are useless, fishermen, uneducated, half-hearted, you love the fish, you love the net more than God, but God treasured you more. He will not let you go because of he loves you. Depart from me. But deep in our hearts, my friend, there's a yearning. God, let me come to you. don't leave me. I need you. In the past, they called him Master. He called him Master. Oh, you can teach me something. Jesus is a good teacher, moral teacher. Let me learn something from you. But don't require too much from me. I'm not your slave. I don't want to be your servant. But now he realized, oh Lord. Jesus became Lord to him. I am worthless. I'm your servant. You are my Lord. I bow down to you. This is how he came to know the Lord. In the beginning, he wants to follow, and because of unknown reason, he left, forsake, half-hearted, tried to go back to his old life. But the Lord has not forgotten him. Still go and find him. Depart from me. No, the Lord will not depart from me. Just now I say, as if you are floating in a raging sea, suddenly you find something to hold on. This becomes a lifesaver for you, isn't it? My fishing boat in this changing world, this fishing boat, this fishing business gives me hopes, gives me future. I won't let it go. But why would one day he left it all? For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of... And from now on you will catch men. Okay, so he left again the fishing business to follow the Lord again. What now? Let me put you in a picture like this. Someone floating in the sea, finding a log, holding on the log. Oh, I'm now saved. This is my hope. This is my future. Why would he give up the log? Because there's a lifeboat, ocean liner. Someone reached out their hand and saved him. So someone delivered you from the raging water, takes you on the boat. Are you still holding on to that log? No, you won't carry it around on the boat, isn't it? You don't need that anymore. Just drop it. Because you have found safe security in the boat. You have a new life in Jesus. So if we have not met our Savior, this is everything I got. I won't let go of my fishing boat. But once I find the Lord, it's much more important, much dearer than the floating log. I can drop the log and get on the boat to be with him. Anyone safe from the sea still holding on to something? No, just drop. You don't need that thing anymore. You may think it saved you, but now if you still hold on to that, it becomes your bondage. It becomes a stock holding you, binding you. You think you are free? No, you become greedy. You always think about your business. You lost your freedom. But when you found Jesus, you found true freedom in him. You don't need that. In the past, you need this boat. But now, you are free. You don't need that boat anymore. So when he left the boat and to be the catcher of men, new freedom, new man. This is the calling of Peter. So in many ways, I find myself just like him. When I first follow the Lord, I feel I'm nothing. Discouragement. Out of my comfort zone. All this new thing to me, out of my comfort zone. God is so great, he doesn't need me. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I want to forsake him. I sinned. I left him. But I found that he came to find me, called me to follow him. I may try to forsake him, even though I know he's good. But yet he has not forsaken me. Again and again, he come to find me. He has not departed from me. He loves me. That's why I respond to his call. I pray that you will respond to his call as well. Jesus loves you. He has never departed from you. He wants you to be his own. This is my message for you today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, for you have not given us, even though we have forsaken you many times, we sin, and we discourage and try to leave you. We only half-hearted to follow you, but you have never forsaken us. Again and again, you came to reach to us and call us to follow you and live for you. We pray for all those among us who are not yet believers. Lord, may your love touch their hearts, speaks to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.